As we come to chapter 22, here is one of the great chapters of the Bible. In fact, I would probably, now understand all the Bible is great, but there are some that just have all of the begat this, begat that, begat. That's information that is needed. But certain chapters have dynamic principles and truths that just really stand out apart from the other. And chapter 22 of Genesis, I would put in the top 10 chapters of the Bible. And a tremendous chapter indeed that it is. Now, throughout the Bible, there is a scarlet thread from Genesis 1 and 2 that all the way to the end of Revelation that points and pictures and portrays Christ. And we see that scarlet thread beginning where we're created in the image of God, and then the first gospel promises in Genesis chapter 3:15, and all the way through the book there is the portraying of Jesus Christ. And this particular chapter would lead the pack in looking and portraying the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of Isaac, much of his life is a portrait of Christ. Now, some things we could say as a type, but some things would be a portrait of Christ. And here are some things in Isaac's life that pictures or portrays the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with his miraculous conception and birth. That is a picture of the virgin conception and birth of Jesus Christ. Now, Isaac was not virgin born, but I tell you what, at 90 years of age for Sarah, that was a miracle to be able to have a baby. And that looked forward to Jesus Christ. You'll also find in Isaac the spiritual battle between him and Ishmael that portray the great spiritual battle between the Lord Jesus Christ and Lucifer or and Satan and the battle that happens there. You'll find from the point when God commanded Abraham to take Isaac and go offer him as a sacrifice until the ram was supplied in the thicket, it was 3 days. And there is a picture of how Christ was 3 days in the grave and raised on the third. And so we see that as well in this great picture. Now, some believe that Isaac was approximately 33 years of age at this point. Normally, he's portrayed as this young boy at this point in the sacrifice. And back in Genesis chapter 17, we have the... hello, Dennis. Good to see you. Yes. Haven't seen you in a long time. I was thinking about your mother here a couple of weeks ago and wondering how you guys were doing. Glad to have you this morning. But anyway, in chapter 17, we know that she was 90 years of age when she conceived. And then as we finish this particular chapter, you go into the next chapter, chapter 23, verse 1, she's said to be 127 years old and dies at that point. So we have at least 37 years that have transpired within these chapters. Now, since each chapter is not chronicled, we do not know how much time transpires between the chapters. And so his age at the time of this, we simply cannot be certain. But we do know that he has to be less than 37 years old at this point. Also, something else is a groundwork and a foundation to this chapter, where Abraham was commanded to offer the sacrifice in Mount Moriah is in the same area. We do not know for fact that it is exactly the same identical spot, but it's in the same ridge of Mount Moriah, and in that same area, it's the same area that David, several years later, made his sacrifice to stop the pestilence that was the result of his sin in numbering the people. It is also the same area where the temple was built and Christ was crucified just outside the walls of Jerusalem. And so we know that this is an area and a place and a location of sacrifice. And that is the theme of this morning's message, Abraham, a man of sacrifice. All right, if you have found your place, Genesis chapter 22, if you're able to stand for the reading, I invite you to stand as we read Genesis 22, 1 through 14. Before I read, a couple of other things I want to mention. This is the seventh and the final time that the Lord appears to Abraham. What more could he ask of Abraham than to offer his own son? And during this event is the final appearing of the Lord to Abraham. And when you get into verse 1, it talks about tempting Abraham. That is test. Satan tempts for the purpose to entice you to do wrong. When the word tempt is used in association with God, he is testing to see if you will obey and do right. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac and his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, while I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in the order and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took on the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering, offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Father, we come to you this morning, and as we consider the record of what Abraham did here and the testimony of his willingness to sacrifice. And Father, we ask that you would use this passage both to encourage us and challenge us in this matter of sacrifice and being willing to do it when you call upon us to do so. And Father, I pray that as we study this, we would even have a greater comprehension of the ultimate sacrifice that you gave in providing your only begotten Son as the Lamb of God. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe there are three dynamic qualities to a godly man or a godly woman. Those three dynamic qualities are faith, obedience, and sacrifice. And we have seen these in the life of Abraham as we have made this study thus far this month. And today we focus on the sacrifice. But the reality is, you cannot separate real faith without obedience. And you cannot separate obedience without faith. And you will discover that faith and obedience typically will include sacrifice. And to sacrifice in a way that honors and glorifies God takes obedience, but it also takes faith to be able to do that. And so here in this particular passage, we see the union of all three of these great virtues of a godly man. And I want to consider these principles that are demonstrated in Abraham's life as he goes to offer this sacrifice unto God. Now here's the first principle that I would take from this passage in the context of the entire Word of God. But here we see he was willing to sacrifice that which he loved most. It is interesting talking about that which you love most and how it will impact your life. I remember reading an article about a young boy that had a real problem with stealing. When the family go to the store, they get home, they discover that the boy had stolen something. And it was a Christian family, and this really disturbed them. And so they would take the boy, make him take what he stole, go back and give it back to the owner. But that really didn't seem to change. If he would go and play with other kids, he'd steal one of their toys and take it home. And they would make him take it and return it and apologize. And so they talked to the pastor. They said, how do we stop this? We've got to train this. If this doesn't change by the time he's a junior high, a teenage, he'll be in jail. And they were right. The pastor thought a moment, and he realized that in the Old Testament, it talked about that when somebody stole something, they not only returned it, but they also paid a multiplicity, threefold, fourfold, or whatever it was. Well, the child didn't have all of that wherewithal to be able to repay. And so the preacher told the parents, he says, I'll tell you what. You ask your child what is his favorite, most loved toy. And they found that out. The next time the child was discovered to steal something, they made the child return the stolen item as well as give the original owner his favorite toy, his loved toy. He stopped stealing because it cost him where it hurt. You know, every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, you take even a little child, they have their loved blanket. And you take that blanket away and it's as though the world has ended. Every one of us has some possession, whether it be a member of the family or sadly, in some cases, it would be something of material value. But it's very special and it's something that we really are not going to give away, we're not going to sell. I have some sentimental items. I don't think I could be paid enough money to sell them. I might be tempted, but I don't think because of the sentimental value that goes with them. Well, here, what God asked Abraham to give was what he loved most. And in this passage in Genesis 22, this is the first mention of the word love and the concept of love. And it's not the love between a husband and a wife. It's the love between a father and a son. And it's a great picture of God the Father and the only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And here we see that the Lord asked of Abraham to give what he probably loved most and was dearest to him, and that was his son, Isaac. You see, he had waited 100 years to have this son. But do understand, sacrifice is not truly sacrifice until it is giving that which cost you something, or that which costs you especially great amount to be able to give. Sacrifice is giving that which is very important to you. We had another testimony of David, and it was with Mount Moriah and the sacrifice that he offered. And he goes and he offers to buy the land and the oxen and the wood and all of this so he could offer the sacrifice there. And the owner says, I'll give it to you. If this will eliminate the pestilence and if this is being given unto God, I'll give it to you. And David said, I will not sacrifice what does not cost me. And so we understand that when we talk about sacrifice, it is giving unto God something that's going to cost us. Sometimes I have asked, and anytime I preach on sacrifice, I struggle with preaching. In my mind and in my thinking, I believe I have made some sacrifices for the Lord over the journey of life. But when I look at what Christ sacrificed and when I look at what many have really sacrificed unto the Lord, I ask myself if I really do know what it means to sacrifice. I have never been asked by God to sacrifice with such a great depth as Abraham was asked. And so he was willing to sacrifice that which he loved most. The second thing that I learned from this passage and the record of Abraham in being willing to offer his son is he was willing to give what God had asked him to give. It was not saying, well, you know, I can do without this, I'll give it to God. Or I really don't need this, so I'll sacrifice and give it to God. It wasn't of his own choosing. It was what God asked him to give. And so we see when God was going to give him, and we see this transition that takes place during the life of Abraham. When God was going to give him the son Isaac, and that Sarah would actually have it, he said, oh Lord, he tries to barter with God. I've got Ishmael, I'm okay with that. It was really a statement of doubt. He really didn't think Sarah could have a child or that they would have a child for whatever reason. And he was willing to barter with God or alter God's will and say, just let Ishmael be my son and let him be the one. And God said, no, that's not my plan. Sarah will conceive, she will have a son, and it will be with Isaac, and with that son that I will bring about the many nations and the great nation that you will be. But when it comes to this request, he doesn't barter with God. He doesn't at this point say, after he has the miracle child in Isaac, he doesn't at this point say, well, why don't we offer Ishmael? Because you remember, Isaac was the one that you promised that there would come a great nation out of. So why don't I offer Ishmael instead? Now, quite frankly, that would have been a big sacrifice for Abraham as well, because he did love Ishmael as his son, and it grieved him when he was sent out the first time and then come back, and then grieved him again when he had to leave, and he did love his son Ishmael. And so it would have been a great sacrifice on his part to have offered Ishmael. But he didn't barter with God. What God asked for, he gave without any debate or reluctance. So this has to do with being obedient to God's command and to God's leading. Now, for you and I, God's not going to be speaking with an audible voice or come visit us in a Old Testament Christophany like he did with Abraham. But the Lord can bear witness with our spirit through the Holy Spirit and impress upon us when and what he wants us to give. And we see here that he was obedient specifically to that. People make sacrifices all the time. I hear a lot of people talking about how, well, I'm willing to sacrifice this or I've sacrificed that. But is it what God asked you to sacrifice? Is it what God asked me to sacrifice? You know, there are people that make sacrifices for other religions. And I'm not talking about human or animal sacrifices, that type of thing. But they may sacrifice a job. They may sacrifice some money. They may sacrifice a variety of things. But the reality is, for us as Christians, are we willing to sacrifice what God asks us to give to Him and to give back? With this, God does not ask everyone to sacrifice the same way. As you go through the Bible, Abraham is the only one that was asked to go offer his son as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. He's the only one that was asked that. We're not all asked to suffer in the same way. It was only Paul who suffered because God said he was going to do this. Not everybody suffers the way Paul suffers. And so as we look at this, God doesn't ask everybody to do everything the same way as the testimonies or as the examples, but God does ask each one of us on some level and in some way to make sacrifices. And are we willing to sacrifice what God calls upon us to give back to Him? I believe it is a very dangerous thing to do any spiritual act after our own will and not according to God's will. The next lesson that I learned from this passage is he was willing to give back to God what God had miraculously given him. You know, I think about this, and this one can be a real challenge. Each of these steps and each of these principles really do take a step of faith and a step of obedience to follow through with. But he's willing to give back to God what God had miraculously given him. Isaac was that promised child and the miracle son of old age that was going to be the one that gendered a mighty nation, and they would have the offspring through Isaac and then his offspring, and ultimately their offspring would be innumerable like the stars or the sand on the beach or that great number. And this is what God had given to him. But even Abraham recognized that every gift received from God still belongs to God. And it is God who gives us the ability to have anything, whether it be wealth, family, health, or any of that. And he was willing to give it back to God. And he understood that we are a steward for God with whatever we have. I think one of the more difficult things can be with our family. It's a horrible thing to lose our health. It can be a horrible thing to go bankrupt and lose our wealth. But it is a hard thing when God takes a family member. And They had asked God, they had sought God until he was 100 years old for this son. And God responded and fulfilled his promise and gave the son. And now God's asking for that boy back. Whether he's a teenage lad or an older young adult, I don't know. It's always a tough thing. I have been with senior adults who are in their 70s and 80s that have had to bury one of their children who may be in their 50s and 60s. And it's hard for them to have outlived their children. Our daughter, Beneth, had an extreme difficulty in pregnancies and carrying a child. I believe, what was there, 5 miscarriages through the process to have 2 children. And one of the great struggles that I know she has because of the difficulty in pregnancy and because of the difficulty of having a child she can tend to be a little more clingy and a little more protective. And when one of them was seriously ill, I had talked to her and I said, "Now do understand, God has given you this child. How will you respond if God chooses to take this child home?" And that was a tough discussion. God did not choose to do that. We had four children. There was no difficulties in having children. But we would feel the same way no matter, you know, compared to somebody that has extreme difficulty, we feel the same way about each one of our children and how special they are. I remember we had a neighbor where I grew up. They had one child, a son, my age. We went to school together. And there was the ladies' club that met, and she would be talking about how she had only one son and how horrible it would be if he died or was killed or whatever. And she didn't know if she could handle it and all of this. And my mom came home just fiery, irritated. And she says, "And she thinks we wouldn't feel the same way if any one of our kids died?" It doesn't make any difference whether you have one or 20. A parent feels the same way about their child. But we have to realize, just as Abraham realized God gave him this child. Now, I'm not talking about being negligent, abusive, uncaring, or any of that. What I'm talking about is God gives us what He gives us that we may give back to Him in one way or another. When Israel left Egypt, God worked in such a way that the Egyptians enriched them with jewels and gold and silver and all kinds of things. Slaves left rather wealthy out of the deal. But when they got out into the wilderness, God had given them that wealth so they could give to have the building of the tabernacle, one of the most beautiful structures of that time. And I believe something that Abraham understood is that whatever God gives us, God gives us to be a steward, to give back to God in one way or another. And in this occasion, he was asking for the death of that child, and he was ready to give to God. Now, it doesn't record all of the thoughts and the emotions that went through Abraham's mind, and he would have chatted with Sarah or whatever. But nonetheless, he was willing to be obedient and trust God in this step and not curse God for what God had called him to do with this. Certainly, if the Lord were to take one of our children from any of us through the gates of death, it would grieve us. But we would not grieve without hope because we would know that God has a purpose and belong to God, and we could trust God for doing what is His will and His right. We would have precious memories. We would have sorrow, but we would not sorrow without hope. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says that we are bought with a price. We are not our own. And as servants of Christ, both ourselves and everything we possess belongs to God. And he was giving that which seemed to be his future hope, the fulfillment of all of God's promises to him. He was giving that back to God and trusting God to still meet his promises through all of this. Then Abraham gave when and where God commanded to sacrifice. He did not seek a more convenient place or a more convenient time. Incomplete obedience will typically translate to disobedience. We need to give full obedience to what God calls upon us to do. Could you have imagined how this would have ended if he had not gone to the appointed place? where God had provided a ram to take the place of Isaac. Maybe there was a beautiful mountain closer by, a half a day's journey. He could be home that evening. Maybe this wasn't the time. We're busy doing a roof and don't have time to give a sacrifice. We'll do it next week or next month. No. He did it when God asked him, and he went to the location where God showed him as well. It is amazing that with sacrifice, the faith and obedience that are crucial as we give it unto God. And then he was willing to give. We do not see any reluctance or argument on Abraham's part. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I believe it is verse 12, it talks about a willing heart. And that chapter talks about giving above and beyond our tithe and our missions, giving sacrificially. And it says this type of giving is rooted in a willing heart to give, and that we don't give it grudgingly. And we see here with Abraham in this sacrifice, we see no grudgment on his part. We see no unwillingness, no reluctance to obey God. Some think that Abraham believed that even though he would offer him as a sacrifice, that God would resurrect him back. I do not know. The text does not say that. But for whatever the reason being, he trusted God in what God commanded him to do, even when it did not make sense at the time, or he couldn't understand all of the ramifications at the time, but he trusted God and obeyed God and was willing to do what God called upon him to do. You know, many times when we are called upon to take a step of faith or to obey through faith or make a sacrifice, we think, now maybe you don't, but I do. I think about, well, if I get rid of this, how do I deal with that? And then how am I going to deal with this? And how is this going to happen? The bottom line is, trust God. If God has called an individual to do a particular thing or to give unto God something in particular, God will always provide on the other side. And we found that to be true. As Abraham prepared to offer his son, he was stopped short of offering Isaac as a sacrifice, and God provided a ram as a substitute. And even in the process of all of the willingness to give of his best, to give of his love, to give when and where, even at the final point, you still need to obey God. Could you imagine if he was so overwhelmed with, I've got to do this, that he was deaf to God's call to stop? And he didn't stop? All God wanted to know was that he was willing to do it, and let him demonstrate that he was willing to do it. For whatever the purpose, there's a lot of things I don't understand about that. But God stopped him short of completing what he had asked him to do. Now, this is the first mention in the Bible about human sacrifice. But God stopped it from happening because a human sacrifice can never atone for the sin of humanity. And the ram as a substitute was given to picture the coming Christ, who would be the perfect lamb, who blood could atone for the sin of the world. But here we see, truly Abraham is a man of sacrifice through faith and obedience unto the Lord. He is an example for you and I in our living relationship with and serving a marvelous Lord. And so what a testimony and what an example for you and I to consider. Now, God's not going to ask you to take a child and go sacrifice. Like I said, certain things in the Bible are not meant to be replicated. But God may ask you and call upon you to sacrifice, and it will take both faith and obedience to follow as God has called. But just as God provided for Abraham through it, God will provide for you when you pursue obedience through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you this morning, and what a principle this is. And Father, I'm not sure I fully understand the depth and the scope of this sacrifice that you called upon Abraham. And what little sacrifices that I think I've made for your name really pale to the greater sacrifices other believers have given and is insignificant compared to the one that you have provided. And so, Father, I pray that each one, not only the men of our church, but each person here, would grow in this grace to be willing to give whatever you ask to give and to let go of whatever you ask to take and trust you, obey you, honor you for your glory. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.